table. Its pages are worn and hard to read, but that family Bible on the table will always be my key to memory.
I can see us sitting around the table.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to another Today's Health Update. Roy Williams, the guru of good health, the superintendent of supplementation. Hope you've got an awesome week taken off for yourselves. You know, it is what you make of it. And what you make of it has a lot to do with what you believe. So what do you believe? I hope you believe the Word of God. And I hope you put it before all of the man's traditions that's out there today. You know, they want us to believe in science and in politics and all that stuff instead of God's Word. But my job is real simple on Mondays, and that's to teach Monday school. Why do I want to teach Monday school? So you'll be clear on what the Word of God says. Do you study God's Word? Do you read His Word? Do you contemplate what His Word is trying to tell us? Have you ever read the Bible? Come on, folks. God wrote us a letter, an instruction manual on how we should live in these flesh bodies. And just as sure as if you ever bought a new car, it came with an instruction manual, and you probably took the time to read a lot of it and study a lot of it to make sure you understood what all that automobile offered you and how to run it efficiently and change the oil when you should and, you know, the tires and all that stuff. You know, you would do that when you spend as much money as an automobile costs today. Well, there's something far more important than an automobile, and that's the flesh body. It is your temple that you're going to live in on this earth until you move on to your spiritual body. It's just that simple. So I want to start today by hoping that you will take seriously that you should study the Word of God and that you should get some good understanding from good teachers. And that's what I do. I teach the Word of God chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And if you're following along today, we're in the book of 1 Thessalonians. I'll be teaching straight from the King James Version and then breaking it down into more modern English so you can understand what it means in today's language, because the old English, especially the 1600 English, you couldn't hardly read at all and understand it. They did upgrade it in the 1800s, but there's a lot of that old English that was still being used then that we don't fully comprehend today. So I help you with that, so you'll make sure you understand what God's trying to tell us. You know, many people are under the impression, for instance, one of man's traditions that's being taught now is they're under the impression that after death, you're in the grave waiting for the resurrection. Do you believe that your physical body will come out of the grave one day, and your physical body and you will be in heaven with God through eternity? Do you believe that? That's not biblical. Do you know the chronological order of what happens before Christ returns? Do you know the order that's going to take place? Everything God ever wrote about or had the prophets write about and Jesus talked about and the apostles wrote about, all of it was real simple, and that is that we, absent of this body, present with the Lord. Well, what's present with the Lord? That body of yours gets put in the grave. It's no longer necessary. It's no longer there. So you need to know the chronological order of what happens before Christ returns. You do know that Christ don't return till the seventh trump, seventh seal, and seventh vial. So be careful, because Satan comes on the sixth trump, the sixth seal, and the sixth vial. That's where he gets 666 as his number. Do you believe in the rapture theory? It's a theory. Rapture's not used in the Bible. And if you're listening to me teach 1 Thessalonians, and when you get into 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which will probably be next week, you really want to pay attention, because that's where I start to debunk the rapture theory, or as I call it, busting the rapture theory. These and other questions will be answered as we work through these letters to the Thessalonians. I'm sure that many of you will be surprised by what you learn from these letters written by Paul. It is my prayer and my belief that as you truly understand the message, that it will give you peace of mind and confidence in these trying times. And let me add to that, these end times. All right, we ended last week in 1 Thessalonians. We ended with chapter 2. So today we'll be starting with 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 1. If you have your King James Version, I'm going to start there. I'm going to read it with you, and then I'm going to give you the more modern English for easier understanding. Verse 1, chapter 3 says, "Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be left at Athens alone." Okay? Modern English, it would simply be this way. For this reason, he's telling us, Paul's writing, telling us, for this reason, we could no longer endure. We thought it right to be left at Athens alone. So, you know, they decided to stay in Athens at that time because of what was going on. Verse 2, then sent Timothy, or it says Timotheus in the King James, but remember that means Timothy, our brother and minister of God and our fellow bearer in the gospel of Christ, to establish you and to comfort you concerning your faith. So basically they sent Timothy, a fellow countryman, is basically what our brother means, and minister or servant of God and our fellow worker in the gospel, or the good news, that's what the gospel is, the good news of Christ, to strengthen each of us and to comfort us concerning our faith or our belief. How do you believe? Do you believe that God sent his only begotten Son to die on that cross and shed his blood for the forgiveness of sins? I certainly hope you believe that, because that is precisely the most important message in the Word of God. So let's go to verse 3. Why is Paul writing this? He says, that no man should be moved by these afflictions, for yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. Now remember, afflictions, can be mean oppressions. What it is, this is a new faith. The Christian faith is new back when Paul's writing this around 53 AD, 53 years after the death of Christ. and they're being oppressed because the Sadducees, the Pharisees, the powers that be, they don't want Christianity to spread. Modern English verse 3 would read this way, so that no person should be unsettled by these oppressions, for you know that we are destined to this. That's a much better reading of what verse 3 means. So let's go to verse 4. For verily, when we were with you, okay, while we were still with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass, and you know. Modern English, let's read it this way. In fact, what he's telling you, Paul's telling you, when we were with you, we told you in advance that we should suffer tribulation. Paul knew that it was coming because he was suffering it already. And he goes on to say, even as it was happening, as you know, which you witnessed. In other words, those people that was alive back then going through it was witnesses to it. Verse 5, for this cause, when I could no longer forbear, I sent to know your faith, lest by some means the tempter have tempted you and our labor be in vain. So let's go over this in modern English because there's words like forbear and tempter. What does that mean? Well, let's read it in modern English. For this reason, when I could no longer endure, Paul's writing now, I sent or inquired to know your faithfulness. He wrote the letter to ask how y'all are doing, to find out if by some means the tempter, by the way, that's the devil, that's Satan himself, So he's saying to find out if by some means the devil have tempted or have trapped you, has confused you, has deceived you, and our work was done in vain. In other words, making our work of no effect. That's basically what happens when you start believing traditions of man. Satan's always involved in the traditions of man, man's opinion about the Bible, instead of reading the Bible and understanding it the way God had the prophets and in Christ and the apostles write it. Jesus says, behold, I have told you all things. Now, we know that didn't happen in that he told them everything in his lifetime, but it meant through the whole Bible, you've got all that you need. Don't let the traditions of man make the word of God, to no effect. That's basically what I'm asking you to do. Let me read it this way. Mark 7:13, it says, making the word of God none effect through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such like things do ye. Verse 13, it says, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down, and many such things you do. This is in Mark. This is Jesus. He's explaining to us that he wants us to understand that you've got to be careful not to listen to the traditions of man, okay? So let's go to verse 6. But now, when Timotheus came from you unto us and brought us good tidings of your faith and charity, and that ye have good remembrance of us always, desiring greatly to see us as we also to see you. What is Paul saying here? In modern English, he's saying, but now since Timothy came from you to us and brought us good news of your faith, belief, and charity, or your love, and that you have good mention about us always, desiring greatly to see us, we also desire greatly to see you. Verse 7, King James Version. Therefore, brethren, we were comforted over you in all our affliction and distress by your faith. What is it that's comforting them? The fact that the believers in Thessalonica had faith. They still had faith in God. So modern English would read this way. Furthermore, fellow believers, we were comforted or encouraged over you in all our oppression and hardships by your faithfulness. You want to encourage a fellow believer? Be of good courage even through the tribulations, even through the fact that Satan's going to put hardships out there and going to try to oppress you and destroy you. Verse 8, for now we live if we stand fast in the Lord. Modern English, for now we live knowing you stand fast in the Lord. That's what he's really saying. Verse 9, for what thanks can we render to God again for you, for all the joy wherewith we joy for your sakes before our God? What's Paul saying? For how much more thanks can we render to God for you? In other words, we've been in constant thanks to God, praying to God and thanking him for you and your faith and your stance and your belief in Jesus Christ. That's what he's saying. And he ends that verse with saying, with all the rejoicing for your sakes before our God. In other words, God's our witness. God's our witness that we are so thankful for your faith. Verse 10, night and day, Paul's writing, paying exceedingly that we might see your face, praying exceedingly, I should have said, that we might see your face and might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. In other words, we want to see you again to help you. Modern English, night and day we were praying exceedingly or frequently that we might see you face to face and might become complete that which is lacking in your faith. We want to continue to help you grow in the faith and perfect it. What does perfect mean? You never fail? No, it just means that you've got that firm belief and nothing's going to change that. Verse 11, now God himself, our Father, and our Lord Jesus Christ, direct our way unto you. Modern English, now may God himself and our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way back to you. In other words, they're putting their faith in God that one day God will see fit to show Paul the way to get back to the Thessalonians and visit them in person. But we know that he does write them another letter, 2 Thessalonians, which will be covered after we finish 1 Thessalonians. So keep your faith that we're going to cover all of this so you've got a clear picture of what Paul and the early Christians went through. Okay, they went through some stuff that you and I wouldn't want to go through. And we're so blessed in America that God has blessed us so that we've got freedom of religion, although they're trying to kick that out from under us at all times. Let's look at verse 12 in the King James Version. And the Lord make you to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men, even as we do toward you. That's pretty easy to understand, but let's read it in modern English anyway. And the Lord made you to grow and increase in love for each other and for all men, even as we do for you. So here's Paul comparing these young Christians to us and telling them that, you know, we're all going to back each other, to pray for each other, which is, y'all, you need to pray for your fellow Christians. And any Christian out there that's confused and believing in the traditions of men called the rapture theory, you need to have them listen to this radio show and get a clear understanding of what Paul thinks about the rapture theory. Because he makes it very clear as we go through this. Now, it's confusing in Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians. That's why Paul ends up writing 2 Thessalonians so that he could wipe out the confusion that people had after he wrote 1 Thessalonians. Now, let's look at verse 13. To the end he may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God, even our Father, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. What's he pointing to here? He's pointing to the return of Jesus Christ. That's why I told you in the beginning of this show, do you know the sequence of events that's going to take place before Christ returns? You need to know, you need to understand, because God gave us an exact description of what's going to happen, and it's going to happen. You need to be prepared so you aren't confused. You see, the biggest threat the rapture theory has for people is it's not biblical. It's not biblical whatsoever. It's not even mentioned in the Bible. But if Satan can get enough of the so-called Christians to believe that you don't have to know the Word of God, you don't have to understand Revelation, you don't have to read Revelation, you're going to fly away. Please don't get caught up in that theory. Nowhere in this Bible does it say you're going to fly away. I will prove that to you. I will prove to you that you're not that physical body of yours is not going to pop out of that grave. That's not the resurrection he's talking about. As a matter of fact, I'll go ahead and tell you this. The resurrection happens the second that silver cord breaks, the second your body dies, the physical flesh dies. It's appointed to man once to die. That's talking about the physical body, okay? Not the spirit, the physical body. It's appointed to man once to die, and it's going to die. But the second it is, the second that silver cord breaks, you're instant, absent of the body, present with the Lord. That should give you great comfort to understand that. And you know what? We don't want those old flesh bodies back. I don't know about y'all, but I'm 68 years old, about to be 69. My old flesh body don't work like it did when I was 25 or 30. I mean, I can still do the same things I did then, but it's harder. I hurt worse. The pain's greater. I suffer more. It's harder to catch my breath sometimes. It's harder to go the distance. The body's breaking down. I watched my dad, who lived to be 95, as his body deteriorated to the point that he had no quality of life left. And he said, I'm ready to go see Noni. That was my mom. That was his wife. And that's awesome. But they knew exactly where they were going. They knew the second they left this old body, they were present with the Lord. I hope you understand it. You're not going to be in some grave waiting for Christ to return. You're going to be present with God, and then you will return with Christ to rule and reign here on the earth for 1,000 years. That's the millennium. So let's look at verse 13 again, okay? To the end he may establish your hearts. What does hearts mean? It's your mind, okay? To establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before God. I'm going to read that in modern English in just a second. Even our Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ with all his saints. Modern English. To the end of this earth age. That's what he's talking about there. Now, don't say that in the King James Version, but I can show you that's what that means. To the end of this earth age, he may establish your thoughts unblameable or blameless in holiness that is acceptable to God, the Father, at the coming, or you might call it the return, of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's the second advent. That's when Christ comes in the second advent. So he ends this chapter with that message, you know, to the end of this earth age, he may establish your thoughts blameless in holiness that is acceptable to God, the Father, at the coming return of our Lord Jesus Christ. How do you be acceptable to God? It's really simple. As Christians, people who believe in God, who have faith, who've given our lives to him, we still fail. But you know what? All we have to do is repent and ask God to forgive us, and it's as though that sin never existed. It's blotted out. It's gone. That's what I appreciate about the Christian faith. We are under the dispensation of repentance and acceptance. That's where we're at. Okay, so let's go into chapter 4 with that understanding, and we'll get into that as far as we can today. But next week, I'm telling you, you want to be back to listen, because that's where we're going to start clearing up this rapture theory. Paul was trying to do it. He kind of left it open-ended to the point that he had to write 2 Thessalonians. We'll get into that after we finish, 1 Thessalonians. Verse 1, chapter 4, King James Version. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk and to please God, so we would abound more and more. What a great opening to this chapter. Modern English would read it this way. Furthermore, okay, we urge you, fellow believers, and encourage you by the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, put your faith in Christ. That should encourage you. He is our salvation. He goes on to say that as you have received us, how you should conduct your life and please God. In other words, what did we teach you? We taught you how to conduct your life and how to please God. Why? So you would abound or exceed more and more. Paul wants nothing but the best for all Christians. And even though he was writing to the Thessalonians, God knew that these words would be shared with all Christians around the world. Verse 2, for you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. Okay, modern English, for you know what commandments or instructions, that's what that means, we gave you by our Lord Jesus. Okay, verse 3, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Now, what is fornication? Okay, in this case, it means sexual immorality. You want to restrain from that. You don't want to be doing those nasty things. Modern English would read this way. Verse 3 would read, for this is the will or desire of God, even your sanctification, that means your holiness, that you should abstain or avoid from fornication. Which, by the way, if you look that up in the Greek, which is what this is written in, it actually means sexual immorality. You see, God put a higher standard on his people. They didn't get involved in that disgusting stuff of sexual behavior that a lot of the everyday people of the world get involved with. Verse 4, every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, here's some words that would be a little hard to understand in the old English, but let's read it in modern English. That every one of you should know how to control yourself, himself or herself, however you want to do it, in holiness and honor or in respect, okay? You know how you should control yourselves. You need to make sure that you're living according to God's word, okay? Verse 5, not in the lust of concupiscence sense, that's a hard word, even as the Gentiles which know not God. So here he is comparing them to Gentiles. So you're no longer, even a Gentile can be saved, but once you're saved, you're not under that lifestyle anymore, that physical lust anymore. Modern English would read, not in lust, that's what he's talking about, desire, of the immoral, even as the Gentiles, the pagans, in other words, who know not God. Let's finish with verse 6 today. That no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any matter, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also have forewarned you and testified. Let's read that in modern English. That no man goes too far and exploit their fellow countrymen in any matter. Just don't do that. For the Lord is the avenger, or revenger, you might say, in any matter, as we have foretold you and testified. So here's Paul giving us some clear instructions of how we should live as Christians. Thank you for listening to today's Health Update. What an honor it is to bring it to you, the Word of God, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. Until next time, magnify the Lord, and may God bless all of us with abundant health.
Now you know why today's Health Update is called the fastest 30 minutes on the radio. Making the right decisions becomes so much easier when you know the truth. If you would like to know more about products, call 256-757-0660. Visit Herbs & More in Athens or NHC Herb Shop in Killen. Or visit our website at www.nhcherbs.com. If you would like to hear a show again or share it with someone, go to Herbs & More Athens Facebook page and scroll down to Roy's picture. The shows are uploaded daily. Or go to Podbean on your computer or phone and type NHC19. That's NHC19 in the search bar and scroll down to find the title you wish to listen to. This is Andy Black. Thank you again for listening to today's Health Update.